executive session. I'd ask the chief clerk to please call the roll.
Convening roll call for the 20th day, March 10th, 2018. Allen. Barlow. Biteman. Blackburn. Blackburn. Blake. Bovey. Brown. Burkhart. Bird. Clausen. Clem. Connolly. Court. Crank. Dayton. Edwards. Eklund. Ayer. Flitner. Freeman. Furphy. Giroux. Gray. Greer. Haley. Hallinan. Halverson. Henderson. Hunt. Jennings. Kinner. Kinner. Kirkbride. Larson Lloyd. Larson Dan. Lindholm. Lone. Laux. McGuire. Madden. Miller. Nicholas. Northrup. Obermuller. Olson. Paxton. Pelkey. Pieperinen. Ponell. Salazar. Schwartz. Simpson. Summers. Steinmetz. Stiff. Stiff. Sweeney. Walters. Wilson. Winters. Zawanitzer. Mr. Speaker. Blackburn. Stiff.
Shall I excuse him?
Stiff excused. We have 59 present, one excused.
Okay, members, and I would remind you this is a 20-day session, and this is the 20th day. We're right on time, and we're here today because we took that Monday off, and so it's a schedule of our own creation. And I'll apologize later. So really appreciate everybody. We have our own Representative Winters is going to lead us in our prayer today. So if you'd please rise.
Well, it sure has been a joy to serve with you over these last 6 years. And as you probably know, I'm not going to be returning to this body next year. But 1 Timothy 1:12 says, I thank Christ Jesus, my Lord, who hath enabled me, for accounting me faithful, putting me in ministry. The Apostle Paul wrote that, and I think it applies to everyone who serves one another in one way or another. So with that in mind, let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for being the perfect example of a servant, for you being the creator of heaven and earth, and giving yourself as a babe in a manger, and eventually dying on the cross to save us from sin. I thank you for making yourself of no reputation. And Lord, I pray that you would guide us as we try to live out the example that you've given to us in your word, that we too would see life as ministry, that we would minister to one another, but also, Lord, minister on your behalf. Lord, I thank you for caring for us and for being merciful, that you are supreme over everything, yet you know every hair that falls from our head, every sparrow that falls to the ground. You're a great God. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to know that we wouldn't be here without your knowledge, that each decision that we make, you are aware of and care about. Lord, I pray that you would give us wisdom and guidance. And Lord, as we finish up this session, I pray that you would help every conversation that is to occur over this day and over the next week or so. Lord, also, I pray that you would guide us as we go back to our homes, as we again return and serve our children, our families, and our communities. Lord, we need your wisdom in that. So Lord, please guide our time, and thank you for the friendships we've been able to develop this session. We pray all of this in the name of your Son, humbly. Amen.
Okay, so as we work today, there'll be different things. We're going to get going and get concurrences and sign enrolled acts and do all those things. But as I said yesterday, it'll be a lot of stopping and starting. And we have one event this morning that Representative Blake, our Kersey Committee Chairman, is going to talk about. But I want to just say one thing. It was quite interesting as I talked to all of you. It was all about whether you had clean clothes or not on this Saturday. We're all living the legislative dream, and everybody has their own system, you know. And I have my I have this small laundry cart, and so I come back on Monday morning early or Sunday night late, and I have clean clothes in it. And I put them in my little place, and then by the end of the week, I looked at all my dirty clothes, and then I don't have many clean clothes. And I had a guy see me last week walking in. I was chasing a basketball game, and I had my laundry cart with me, my little laundry basket. And he says, "Geez, Speaker Harshman, you need some luggage or something. I can help you out probably." Or I said, "No, man, it's all a system. I'm not going on a trip." So, but interesting. So, yeah, actually quite funny this morning, but really appreciate everything. So I'm going to turn this over then to Chairman Blake.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
I'd like the following individuals to come up here to the front. Representative Freeman, Representative Pelkey, Representative Connolly, Representative Summers, Representative Burkhart, Representative Miller, and Speaker Harshman. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Please line up in front. I'm sure you've all been in a lineup before. Well, we're going to do this one at a time. I'm going to start with the retired teacher whose former job was teaching in the Sweetwater School District and Western Wyoming College. You're a minority caucus chairman, Representative John Freeman. You have to stay up here. Secondly, the good attorney from over the hill and a great minority whip, I might say, Representative Charles Pelkey. Oh, you guys should stay up front, don't you? Yes. Yeah, no, stay up front, please. Next is the good professor from over the hill who has the rusty law degree, Representative Kathy Connolly, minority floor leader. Next, we have the representative who participates in the Green River Drift every year, herding his cattle up there in the northern part of the state, Majority Whip, Mr. Albert Summers. Next, we have the representative from the Mother County, also the home of the penitentiary. Representative Don Burkhart, Speaker Pro Tem. Next we have Representative David Miller, the Majority Floor Leader. He glows in the dark. He likes uranium so much. And last but not least, the speaker that is number one in your heart, and he has number one on his license plate, and he would probably say, that just never gets old, does it? We have a couple gifts for the speaker right here. Uh, Without these people, we would probably all be a mess. Yeah, we would be home too, but we can't thank these people enough for stepping up into leadership roles, and we appreciate each and every one of them, and thank you for everything you've done this 64th legislative session. So give them a big round of applause, please. Who wants a speaker to open his present right now? I say yes. Yeah. There's one more. Wow. This is Wyoming 64th Legislature, House of Representatives, Speaker of the House, Steve Harshman. In recognition and appreciation of your excellent leadership and dedicated service to the people of Wyoming.
Thanks a lot. I mean, what else can you say? It's kind of hard to, you can't really find any words to express that. So
before your speech,
I'm not giving a speech right now. I just want to say
you.
Thank you.
I got one more thing for you.
Oh, no.
I did read the rule book, and it talked about the majority floor leader is responsible for getting a gift from the speaker. So.
We'll talk more later, but just really a sincere thank you. Okay? Really. We'll do speeches and talks. A lot of us want to say things. Some of us are going to be leaving and all those things. But, you know, I think... you just can't put it into words. And that's... I think we're all kind of prisoners, I've said this, of the English language. Because there's just not the right words to really say it. So, thank you. That's all you can say. Really, really appreciate it. So, thank you. Let's get back to work. So I think we're just going to stand at ease for about 5 minutes, okay? Thanks. our journal committee report.
Mr. Speaker, your journal committee reports that the journal of March 9th, 2018 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Grew and Representative Gray.
Our doctor of the day is Dr. Hallinan and Dr. Barlow.
Craig gets on. All right. We don't want to go there.
So if you need to see a man about a horse.
Open.
If that's not motivation, I don't know what is. But okay, we're at that order of business of reading and signing of enrolled acts. The first enrolled act is House Act number 53, original House Bill 6.
House Enrolled Act number 53, being original House Bill number 6, an act relating to public records.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 53, original House Bill 6. I'm going to get this. I'm so signed. Next Enrolled Act is number 54, original House Bill 162.
House Enrolled Act number 54, being original House Bill 162, an act relating to the Wyoming State Penitentiary.
About to sign Enrolled Act 54, original House Bill 162. Signed. Thank you, Representative Walters. Next enrolled act is number 55, original House Bill 129.
House Enrolled Act number 55, being original House Bill number 129, an act relating to motor vehicles.
About to sign Enrolled Act number 55, original House Bill 129. So signed. Congratulations, Chairman Kirkbride. Next enrolled act is number 56, original House Bill 53.
House Enrolled Act number 56, being original House Bill number 93, an act relating to regulation of traffic on highways.
I want to make sure I said that right. I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 56, original House Bill 93. I've so signed. Congratulations, Representative Winters. Next enrolled act is number 57, original House Bill 66.
House Enrolled Act number 57, being original House Bill number 66, an act relating to water projects.
About to sign Enrolled Act number 57, original House Bill 66. So signed. Next Enrolled Act is number 58, original House Bill 69.
House Enrolled Act number 58, being original House Bill number 69, an act relating to crimes and offenses.
About to sign Enrolled Act number 58, original House Bill 69. So signed. Congratulations, Representative Stith. Next enrolled act is number 59, original House Bill 86.
House Enrolled Act number 59, being original House Bill number 86, an act relating to welfare.
We're going to pause. I want to make sure I actually have the bill. We had them backwards. I just want to make sure. I had the wrong bill jacket. And that last House Bill, 69, was Representative Steinmetz. Congratulations. Okay, we've got this right. Got the A-team up here. These five ladies got it. Okay. So I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 59, original House Bill 86. Yes, now that lines up. Congratulations, Representative Stith. So signed. Next Enrolled Act is number 60, original House Bill 119.
House Enrolled Act number 60, being original House Bill 119, an act relating to genetic information privacy.
About to sign enrolled Act Number 60, original House Bill 119. Congratulations, Representative Olson. Next enrolled act is Number 61, original House Bill 40.
House Enrolled Act Number 61, being original House Bill 40, an act relating to elections.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act 61, original House Bill 40. So signed. Next enrolled act is Senate Number 36, original Senate File 100.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 36, being original Senate File 100, an act relating to economic diversification, creating a broadband development program.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 36, original House, original Senate File 100. I've so signed. Next enrolled act is Senate 37, Senate File 108.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 37, being original Senate File 108, an act relating to economic diversification and development.
About to sign Enrolled Act 37, original Senate File 108. I'm so signed. Next enrolled act is Senate Number 38, original Senate File 58.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 38, being original Senate File 58, an act relating to game and fish licenses.
About to sign original, Enrolled Act 38, original Senate File 58. So signed. The next enrolled act is Senate 39, original Senate File 19.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 39, being original Senate File 19, an act relating to crimes and offenses.
About to sign Enrolled Act 39, original Senate File 1, original Senate File 19. So signed. Next enrolled act is Senate 40, original Senate File 40.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 40, being original Senate File 40, an act relating to aeronautics.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act 40, original Senate File 40. So signed. Next enrolled act is Senate 41, original Senate File 17.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 41, being original Senate File 17, an act relating to prioritization of municipal solid waste facilities, cease and transfer projects.
About to sign Senate Enrolled Act 41, original Senate File 17. I've so signed. Next enrolled act is Senate 42, original Senate File 30.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 42, being original Senate File Number 30, an act relating to decedents' estates.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Number 42, original Senate File 30. So signed. Next enrolled act is Senate 43, original Senate File 57.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 43, being original Senate File 57, an act relating to attorneys at law.
About to sign Senate Enrolled Act 43, original Senate File 57. I've so signed. Next enrolled act is Senate Number 44, original Senate File 62.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 44, being original Senate File 62, an act relating to water development projects.
About to sign Senate Enrolled Act 44, original Senate File 62. I've so signed. Next enrolled act is Senate 45, original Senate File 75.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 45, being original Senate File 75, an act relating to pharmacy.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act 45, original Senate File 75. I've so signed. The next enrolled act is Senate Enrolled 46, original Senate File 83.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 46, being original Senate File 83, an act relating to controlled substances.
About to sign Senate Enrolled Act 46, original Senate File 83. I'm so signed. The next enrolled act is Senate File 47, original Senate File 66.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 47, being original Senate File 66, an act relating to public health and safety.
About to sign Senate Enrolled Act 47, Original Senate File 66. I'm so signed. The next enrolled act is Senate File 48. Original Senate File 29.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 48 being Original Senate File 29, an act relating to education.
About to sign Senate Enrolled Act 48, Original Senate File 29. I'm so signed. The next enrolled act is Senate Enrolled 49, Original Senate File 22.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 49 being Original Senate File 22, an act relating to criminal procedure and orders of protection.
About to sign Senate Enrolled Act 49, Original Senate File 22. I'm so signed. Next enrolled act is Senate Number 50, Original Senate File 15.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 50 being Original Senate File 15, an act relating to economic development.
About to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 50, Original Senate File 15. So signed. Next enrolled act is Senate Number 51, Original Senate File 68.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 51 being Original Senate File 68, an act relating to state agency planning.
Next, I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act 51, Original Senate File 68. I'm so signed. Okay, I'm going to pause for just 1 minute. Chairman Northrop, Nicholas, and Kirkbride, could you please come here? Okay, thank you. We're at that order of business. A request to concur with Senate amendments to House bills. First message for our consideration is message number 304 to House Bill 140, and that is Chairman Northrop.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence to message 304 to House Bill 140 and ask you to vote no. When the good people down the hall took and obliterated the bill and then tried to put it back together again, some of the language got messed up in special education, and actually there's an appropriation portion in there for the $2 million that we have for out-of-district placements, and the way that that's phrased right now is that we can't get to that money. It says notwithstanding any appropriation. So if you'd like, I'd walk you through the complete amendments, or if you'd like, or we can just vote no and go to concurrence. All right, I'll walk you through.
Okay. Question being called. And we're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 140 and majority elected members required. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Concurrence on House Bill 140. Allen. No. Barlow. No. Biteman. No. Blackburn. Black? No. Blake?
No.
Bovey? No. Brown?
No.
Burkhart? No. Bird? No. Clausen? No. Clem? No. Connolly? No. Court? No. Crank? No. Dayton? No. Edwards? I. Eklund? No. Ayer? No. Flitner? No. Freeman? No. Furphy? No. Grew? No. Gray?
No.
Greer?
No.
Haley? No. Hallinan? No. Halverson? No. Henderson? No. Hunt? No. Jennings? No. Kinner?
No.
Kirkbride? No. Larson Lloyd? No. Larson Dan? I. Lindholm?
No.
Lone? No. Laux? No. McGuire?
No.
Madden? No. Miller? No. Nicholas? No. Northrup?
No.
Obermuller?
No.
Olson?
No.
Paxton?
No.
Pelkey?
No.
Piperinen?
No.
Pawnell?
No.
Salazar?
No.
Schwartz?
No.
Simpson?
No.
Summers?
No.
Steinmetz?
No.
Stith?
No.
Sweeney?
No.
Walters?
No.
Wilson?
No.
Winters?
No.
Zwanitzer?
No.
Mr. Speaker?
No.
Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 2 aye, 58 no.
By your vote, you have voted to not concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 140. I would appoint Conference Committee Chairman Northrup as the chair, Representative Paxton, and Representative Summers. The next message for our consideration is message number 306 to House Bill 194, and that is Chairman Nicholas, state-funded capital construction.
I would move your non-concurrence on House Bill 194, state capital construction, and just to remind everybody, as you recall, we sent House Bill down, 194 down to the folks on the other side, and that became, then they substituted their bill for our bill, and then they brought House Bill 1, we got Senate file 121, what we worked on until late last night, which is now our bill. And there are different things in both of those bills that happened in second and third readings, and so in order for us to meet in conference, we're going to have a non-concurrence on this and a non-concurrence on 121 and do it twice to go to an open committee in order to get the two combined changes to both bills combined for a conference committee. So that, at least that's the plan right now. So I'd ask for your non-concurrence.
Mr. Majority Whip, I want to make sure we have this motion. Don't leave.
Yeah, point of order. You move non-concurrence. I would assume you're moving concurrence in a vote of no because there's a difference in that double negative.
Oh, vote no on the concurrence.
So the motion is to concur with Senate amendments, and the chairman's asking for a no vote, to be clear. So the majority elected the member. Are there any questions? Anyone for the first time? Okay, on this concurrence request. The majority of the elected members is required, so we're voting on concurrence on message 306 to House Bill 194. Majority of the elected members required. The chief clerk, please call the roll.
Concurrence on House Bill 194. Allen?
No.
Barlow?
No.
Biteman?
No.
Blackburn?
No.
Blake?
No.
Bovey?
No.
Brown?
No.
Burkhart?
No.
Bird?
No.
Clausen?
Aye.
Clem?
Aye.
Connolly?
No.
Court?
No.
Crank?
No.
Dayton?
No.
Edwards?
Aye.
Eklund?
No.
Ayer?
No.
Flitner?
No.
Freeman?
No.
Furphy?
No.
Grew?
No.
Gray?
No.
Greer?
No. Haley. No. Hallinan. No. Halverson. No. Henderson. No. Hunt. No. Jennings. Aye. Kinner. No. Kirkbride. No. Larson Lloyd. No. Larson Dan. Aye. Lindholm. No. Lone. No. Laux. No. McGuire. No. Madden. Aye. Miller. Miller? No. Nicholas. No. Northrup. No. Obermuller. No. Olson. No. Paxton. No. Pelkey. No. Pipirinen. No. Ponell. No. Salazar. No. Schwartz. No. Simpson. Aye. Summers. No. Steinmetz. Aye. Stith. No. Sweeney. No. Walters. No. Wilson. No. Winters. No. Zawanitzer. No. Mr. Speaker. No. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Halverson, no to aye. Hallinan, no to aye. Further changes. Closing vote. The vote is closed. 10 aye, 50 no.
By your vote, you have voted to not concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 194. I'd appoint Conference Committee Larson, Lloyd, Walters, and Nicholas Chair. The next message for our consideration is message number 320 on House Bill 130. Chairman Nicholas, State Fair Endowment.
Mr. Speaker, I would move for concurrence on House Bill 130 and ask for your aye vote. Ladies and gentlemen, this was this is the State Fair Endowment. So it's a bit confusing when you look at the request for concurrence. Essentially, it went into a second reading they took out the funding, and then when it came back, they put the funding back in. So basically, it recreates what we originally sent down there with some other changes to one other paragraph, but it's a good bill.
Any other members would like to speak for the first time? Representative Henderson?
It's a good bill. I'd ask for an aye vote.
Okay. Any other members? Okay. Seeing none, we're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 130. A majority of elected members is required. The Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Concurrence on House Bill 130. Allen. Aye. Barlow. Aye. Biteman. Aye. Blackburn. Aye. Blake. Aye. Bovey. Aye. Brown. Aye. Burkhart. Aye. Byrd. Aye. Clausen. Aye. Clem. Aye. Connolly. Aye. Court. Aye. Crank. Aye. Dayton. Aye. Edwards. Aye. Eklund. Aye. Ayer. Aye. Flitner. Aye. Freeman. Aye. Furphy. Aye. Giroux. Aye. Gray. Aye. Greer. Aye. Haley. Aye. Hallinan. Aye. Halverson. Aye. Henderson. Aye. Hunt. Aye. Jennings. Aye. Kinner. Aye. Kirkbride. Aye. Larson Lloyd. Aye. Larson Dan. Aye. Lindholm. Aye. Lone. Aye. Laux. Aye. McGuire. Aye. Madden. Aye. Miller. Aye. Nicholas. Aye. Northrup. Aye. Obermuller. Aye. Olson. Aye. Paxton. Aye. Pelkey. Aye. Pipirinen. Aye. Ponell. Aye. Salazar. Aye. Schwartz. Aye. Simpson. Aye. Summers. Aye. Steinmetz. Aye. Stith.
Aye. Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zawanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 60 aye.
By your vote, you voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 130. The next message is message number 324 on House Bill 168. Chairman Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move message number 324 to House Bill 168, substitute bill number 2, and ask for an aye vote on concurrence. One change was made at the North End in Committee of the Whole on the title. On page 1, line 6, inserted the wording, providing that the use of reasonable defensive force does not subject a person to criminal prosecution as specified. So I think it was a case of matching the title to the content of the bill. Again, we're asking for an aye vote.
Any members like to speak first time? Question being called. We're voting on concurrence to Senate amendments on House Bill 168. A majority of the elected members is required. The Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Concurrence on House Bill 168. Allen.
Aye.
Aye. Barlow.
Aye.
Biteman.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bovee.
Aye.
Aye. Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Clausen.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
No.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
Aye.
Dayton. No. Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner.
Aye.
Freeman.
No.
Furphy.
Aye.
Grew.
No.
Gray.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan. Aye. Halverson.
Aye.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
No.
Piperinen.
Aye.
Ponell.
Aye.
Salazar.
Aye.
Schwartz.
No.
Simpson.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stith.
Aye.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters. No.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zawanitzer.
No. Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Bovee, aye to no. Byrd, aye to no. Blackburn, Summers. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 49 aye, 11 no.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 168. I have two conference committees to appoint. On Senate File 34, I appoint Representative Barlow, Representative Obermuller, and Representative Eklund as chair of Senate File 34. On Senate File 36, I appoint Representative Freeman, Representative Eklund, and Representative Brown as chair. We're at that order of business of consideration of joint conference committee reports. You can see your list, members. I want to first take the second one first, which is House Bill 109. We're going to save the budget for a few minutes, the explanation on the joint conference committee report. So the first report for our consideration is joint conference committee number one on House Bill 109, Chairman Nicholas. And this is public employee retirement plan contributions. Actually, I'm going to move to the third one. I'm going to move to Senate File 42. And so the next report for our consideration is Joint Conference Committee number one on Senate File 42, and that would be Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move House Message 239, adoption of the Joint Conference Committee report. Ladies and gentlemen, this was regard to professional licensing applicant criminal records. The House Standing Committee adopted added some language that the Senate did not concur with. And so we had some discussions back and forth, and we came to a position, and you'll see it was signed off by both bodies as a compromise for that language. There were numerous other amendments to the bill, of course, but this was the only thing that seemed to be a hang-up for our Senate colleagues. So I'd ask for your favorable vote on the Joint Conference Committee report from House 239 on Senate File 42. Please vote aye.
Would any member like to vote speak for the first time? Seeing none, we are voting on Joint Conference Committee number one's report to Senate File 42. Majority of the elected members is required to adopt the report. The Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Joint Conference Committee for Senate File 42, Allen.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Biteman.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bovee.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Clausen.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Furphy.
Aye.
Grew.
Aye.
Gray.
No.
Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
No.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone.
No.
Laux.
Aye.
McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Pawnell.
Aye.
Salazar.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Simpson.
Aye.
Summers. No. Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stiff.
Aye.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zawanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 55 aye, 5 no.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee number one's report to Senate File 42. The next report for our consideration is on Joint Conference Committee number one's report on House Bill 109. Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move Joint Conference Committee report for House Bill 109. I will turn the explanation of the report to the good representative, my fellow representative from Laramie County.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Folks, as said, we move concurrence and ask for your aye vote. This was the bill on public employee retirement plan contributions. If you recall, we brought to you a total increase of 2% in retirement contributions, employer-employee over 4 years to strengthen the retirement system. So that is still the situation. The 2% remains. But when we first saw House Bill 109 as it came to us, the language changed our longstanding practice of allowing school districts and other block grant entities to cover the increased costs as however it worked best for them. However, after this bill left our chamber, we passed House Bill 110, which affected the employee retirement funds as well. So at, when it got to the other, when the two of them together got to the other end of the hall, the Senate took in, that into consideration, and in this bill returned back to our prior practice. And as a matter of fact, with those two bills working together, the Senate's amendment and the other 110 will actually improve the retirement fund position even more. So we have accepted the Senate's change along with some conforming amendments that just the drafting missed down at the other end. So I would ask for your eye on concurrence.
Any members would like to visit? Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So we're going kind of quick on these concurrences. So when we voted on non-concurrence here, the issue that was brought was that the language that this could be deducted from the employee's paycheck, that was removed over in the Senate. And you're saying, I guess, that House position was not retained in any form in this joint conference committee.
Other members for the first time. Representative Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a related question. The way it sounds to me, the required deduction out of employee paychecks is you relented on that. Is that right?
Anyone else for their first time? Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. What the Senate did was they pinpointed certain areas that were problematic. We have some employers who pay 100% of what the employee contribution is, some employers who pay none. And they felt it was best to leave some of those employers in the same position to make that choice. You have to remember, there are probably 700 employers in the state retirement system of various kinds. There are cemetery districts in the state retirement system. So it left intact some of the requirement that certain employees pay a portion, and also left out some. It really is a good fix. With it, it was something we hadn't seen when we even come up with the bill. In the long run, it actually makes the retirement system stronger. It will actually reach, with this amendment working with the other bill that we passed, I think you're going to see it may go 100% funded in potentially 25 years rather than 30. So all in all, a good amendment. And that the Senate had some different reasons for doing it, but when we sat down and put really hard numbers to it, it comes out as a good program for the system. So on and for concurrence.
Any other members? First time, Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would urge no vote on this. I guess I'm confused, and again, trying to slow it down a little bit. We're deleting the language. We're actually conceding the House position and saying the Senate is better, is what we're doing. And we've been told this entire time that we needed to up the percentages in order to make pensions whole, that we have unfunded liabilities there, and we do, and that it requires more from the employee and more from the employer, and it was split. And so I guess at the end of the day, I'm trying to figure out how this all interplays together as well. Because for me, it feels like there's something missing here. We're going quick. It almost feels a little bit of smoke and mirrors. I guess the question that I have that I would like answered is, where does this leave the state? Is this going to actually cause the state, are we going to require state employees to pay nothing? Is it all going to be now in the state's shoulders, that the state is going to pay this additional increase, and that the employee is going to have to pay nothing? Because when we delete the language on page 4 and page 5, that's what I see. The state's, or that the employee is off the hook, that the state is the one that has to do this, which means that our budget is inadequate because we haven't funded enough, because there's going to be additional government creep there. And so if you could answer that, I'd appreciate it, because I'm, just not quite seeing how all these things interplay.
Representative Flitner.
First, second. I've been dying to say that.
Never gets old. Anyone else? First? Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. One thing that hasn't been mentioned in this debate right now is that we are adopting a Senate amendment that does something that we all tend to agree with, which is local control for our school boards. I think the previous speaker said, does this now mean that X, Y, and Z? And the answer is no. Because what we have done is we have returned the allocation of that particular benefit back to the local school boards, back to the locals, in order to make a decision about what's best for them. We've also heard that by adopting the combination of an amendment that we are making our retirement system more secure. So I'm in favor of the concurrence.
Anyone else for the first time? Okay, we're going to... I don't see anyone else. Some of you guys are moving around. You're faking me out here, moving the mics. Okay, Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thanks. First for a second, in case it gets interesting here in a second.
Okay. Anyone else? First time. Now we're going to move. Oh, my God. We're going to move to second time. Okay, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't think I was clear during my first time at the mic. 100% funded means that there is no more actuarial liability on the plan. And I think if you remember this past, I believe it was late summer, early fall, one of the largest rating agencies in the country derated Wyoming's bond rating from AAA to AA. Now, that doesn't sound like a big change unless you ever need to borrow money and then it's worth millions and millions of dollars. Part of that reason was this large unfunded liability, actuarial liability on the retirement system. While this is a small change in the retirement system, like I said, the Senate picked this up, it makes a tremendous change in how fast we get rid of that unfunded liability. We'll always make contributions to the retirement plan, and the employees will make contributions. And that, but it's how fast we get to that 100% funded point that gives the state employees, the other people in that plan, a real secure future, and it will also allow us to know, once we reach that point, to potentially look at giving cost of living adjustments. Really a good amendment. You have to remember, the state employees, this still applies to them. They'll still contribute their share. They're only about a fourth of what we call the large plan. The other three quarters are all these other small agencies outside the state government. There are school districts, there are hospital districts, cemetery districts, irrigation boards, and those that are in the plan. So it was really, I'd say they took a very fine look at it. I think the state employees are still in there. The others aren't. It gives back that local control. All in all, financially for the system, it's a good adjustment. So on and for concurrence.
Chairman Mann.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, I guess in the long run, it probably is. But it probably is good for the system. But you have to understand that, and I don't even know how I'm going to vote on this. I mean, good retirement system, benefit systems like we have, are always run better if you have a mandate that is 50-50. And we got away from that in 2003. You know, I used to be on the retirement board as a liaison. And what happens when you don't adhere to this 50-50, that, you know, the employees see it as a free lunch. And when it's a free lunch, you say, I'd like to have increased benefits. And that's what happened. And that's why we're struggling to get this thing funded at 100%, because back in 2003, they set that percent of final average salary so high that it can't sustain at the value or that at the contributions that it was. But they didn't care because they didn't have to make any of the contributions. And if so, anyway, you know, the horse is already out of the barn, and I don't even know what to do, or, you know, there's nothing you can really do to fix it now because of what happened 15, 20 years ago.
Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to respond to a couple of the points that have been made here. So we're talking about the large plan. Most of the large plan that was referred to earlier is state employees, but then you have employees from other subsidiaries, special districts, school boards that are in the large plan. And so this is what this amendment has to do with, and it says, well, the idea that it's going to be 50-50 is going to be removed for those subsidiaries. And we get this local control argument. The problem with this argument is that in most cases, the board that is going to be making this decision does not have the skin in the game. It's the state. So when they decide to put this on the employer, it's not them that's going to be paying for it. It's the state of Wyoming. So we certainly have jurisdiction to make this decision. In fact, we are protecting our own state funds. And that's the problem a lot of times when we get into this local control argument, when we are dealing with special districts or subsidiaries that we have funded through a block grant or whatever. And so we certainly have a role to play in this. And I also want to respond to the point that, well, the financial position is going to be made better if this passes. Well, it's the same thing if we fix this and go back to the original language. The point is that it's going to increase the share. The question is, who is going to bear that share? So that argument that the financial position is going to be made better, I'm all for the financial position being made better. I just want to do it right, and so this is not being borne entirely in a fashion that we don't want. So I would urge a no vote on this. Let's go back and get this right. Thank you.
Okay, any other members second time? Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I appreciate the answers. I feel like I've got a better understanding, and I appreciate the discussion. So what I'm hearing here is that we still do have contributions from some that are required by employees, in particular state employees. However, that we're exempting others, we're creating a carve out for them, and saying that their employees don't have to pay for it, but the state is going to pick up their portion. And so there's a disparity. It's just what the good representative said from the center of state just a moment ago. The state is on the hook. Someone's going to have to pay. It's just who's going to pay. Is it going to be the employee or is it going to be the employer? And so we kick it to this local control argument and say, well, the local school board is going to decide on whether or not they pick up 100%. But it's not actually them paying. At the end of the day, it's the state. It comes out of the state coffers. And so we're actually increasing the cost there. You know, the other point that I would just make is, you know, we're going through a study right now. I think there was a task force that was going to be created, a retirement task force that, you know, is asking why don't public or why don't private employers, why aren't they saving enough for retirement? Well, part of it is a lot of them can't afford to kick in 100% of a pension. And yet that's exactly what we're doing here, what we're allowing to do. And so this is a special carve-out. There now creates a disparity. There's inequity. And I would urge your no vote. We should treat everyone equal. There shouldn't be any special carve-outs for this. So I would urge your no vote.
Anyone else? Second time, Chairman Zwanitz.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. And maybe there's inequity, but it's in our favor, and I think we are doing it right. I mean, I think you all remember when I talked about this bill last time, I didn't love it. But here's why I do like this amendment, and here's why I think we should like it as a body. If people, and especially what we're talking about, a lot of these cases are the first-time employees, right? They come into an employer, and a lot of these are teachers. And so I know I heard the controversy on teachers in the block grant, that state funds, but this also, we have lots of other employees that aren't on block grants, city, county employees, it's our own funds, et cetera. But what we're really saying here is if you are going to take the chance and you're going to stay in Wyoming for at least 4 years to get invested in the state plan, we're going to give you some benefits. And if you're not going to make it those 4 years, you don't get the benefits. And so why I think that that does kind of hurt young people, because I told you first time, you know, people get 12 or 13 jobs in their lifetime. But those young people who do want to commit to the state or the county or the schools or to staying in Wyoming and making it here long term, we still have one of these great plans. I mean, compared to any other private employer in the country, this is still a good deal. And so if you're going to commit to the state of Wyoming or our subsidiaries, we're going to make it worth your while, and we are going to get a great plan. I don't know if we're going to get cost of living adjustment someday. That may be a little pie in the sky for me. But I think this might actually help keep young people here. Even if they're struggling as new teachers, they can see that, hey, if they stick with it and they get vested in the state plan, there's going to be a real benefit long-term for them. And so I think it's a good amendment overall.
Representative Plintner.
Well, there's a reason why I let – thank you, Mr. Speaker. There's a reason why I let the good chairman go before me. He said it just as well as I could. Just – I'd urge your aye vote. This is a good thing for Wyoming, and the bill itself is really important to the retirement system. So I'd urge your aye vote. Thank you.
Anyone else? Second time. Only one possible second time. For the sponsor. Okay, we're going to the sponsor, Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I feel kind of like I should say 2 pi r for a fourth or something by this time. And I have to say about a quarter of the body has come by my podium to ask. And we've covered really about 3 different bills in the discussion on this. So let me just bring it back in if I can, folks. There was a question from the northeastern part of the state regarding the state employees. If you look, if you have your bill, and I'm working off the original white one because I don't make any changes. If you look on pages 2 and 3 of the bill, not touched upon by this, our requirement to have state employees pay more is unchanged. Out of their own pocket, that requirement, we're asking to increase the contributions to the plan by 2% over 4 years, 1% from the employer, and 1% specifically in cash out of the employee's pocket. That is not changed. All right, that's pages 2 and 3 of the bill. That's still there. On page 4, at the bottom of the page, starting with line 18 and so, that paragraph there is dealing with a body of other employers, most of whom receive funds from us through a block grant, not all. There are some special districts and such, but you've got the community colleges, the school districts and such, who receive their money from a block grant. That language is underlined because they have been exempted from that for quite some number of years. So this is not in any way a new carve-out. This is our standard practice. And because the money comes out of a block grant, where the 1% from the employee and employer comes from does not affect us, because it's the money is in the block grant anyway, and the retirement fund contributions do not come as some sort of special reimbursement from the state. The other component, so we were going back to the thing to remember, too, and this is where there was a little bit of confusion, frankly, at the mics. This bill dealt specifically with the 2% increase over 4 years. We did, after this bill was passed in our body, we also considered House Bill 110, which was discussed, I think, which was really brought in by another speaker. That was the one where we talked about whether people can take away, what they can take away if they leave before they're vested, okay? And our previous practice was that the employee could take away the cash that they had put in plus the cash that their employer had put in on their behalf. That Bill 110 changed that. So in reality, in the two together, 109 and the 110, will actually strengthen our system even more, because by putting this paragraph back in, as the Senate suggested, and allowing the employer to pick up part of the employee contribution just for those employer groups, that means if the employee leaves before they're vested, they have put in very little, and now they cannot take away the employer's coverage of their part. So the two of them together, as having passed both bodies, actually strengthens the retirement system even more than we had really contemplated at the beginning. So, again, I ask for your aye vote on this, because It does give those employers the flexibility that they have had for quite a long while. The total contribution to the retirement system is the same. And because of 109, it increases the contribution to the state, which is very important. And in conjunction with 110, it actually makes it even better. So the state is in a far better position for the retirement fund, which is the purpose of this whole thing. So please vote aye.
We're voting on the Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to House Bill 109. A majority of the elected members is required to adopt the report. The Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Joint Conference Committee Report on House Bill 109. Allen.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Biteman.
No.
Blackburn.
No.
Blake.
Aye.
Bovee.
Aye.
Brown.
No.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Clausen.
Aye.
Clem.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Furphy.
Aye.
Giroux.
Aye.
Gray.
No.
Greer.
No.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
No.
Halverson.
No.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
No.
Jennings.
No.
Kinner.
No.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
No.
Larson Dan.
No.
Lindholm.
No.
Lone.
No.
Laux.
No.
McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
No.
Miller.
No.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
No.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
No.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Piperinen.
Aye.
Pawnell.
Aye.
Salazar. No. Schwartz.
Aye.
Simpson.
No.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
No.
Stith.
No.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
No.
Zawanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Allen. Aye. To no. Further changes. Closing vote. The vote is closed. 33 aye. 27 no.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee Number 1's report to House Bill 109. I have a Conference Committee report on Senate, or to appoint, I should say, on Senate File 45. It will be Senate File 45. It will be Representative Gray, Representative Hunt, and Representative Clausen Chair. That's Senate File 45. Okay, members, at this point, we're going to pause until the sound of the gavel for about 5 or 10 minutes. Okay, just about 5 or 10 minutes. Thank you.
Roll call.
ladies and gentlemen, we're just waiting on the chairman of appropriations, so just kind of hang out for a while. The next order of business is the next conference committee report, which is the conference committee for our consideration is Joint Conference Committee number one on House Bill number one, General Government Appropriations. Chairman Nicholas.
Mr. Chairman, I would move Joint Conference Committee for House Bill number one and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, in your file yesterday, in your box, was handed out a Joint Conference Committee summary report. So if you can find that, and what we're going to do is we kind of divided it up kind of like we have in the past, and we're just going to walk through each one of the issues that went to Conference Committee, and you'll see on the far left-hand side is the action that was taken. So you'll see a deny. The D is for a deny. An A is for accept. And then if you go, then when you get in, there's a deny and further amend. So those are the three options for each one of these activities. So we'll start out. The first ones are pretty simple, some identical ones. And as we go through, if you have questions, we'll do it however you want. At the end of the day, it's fairly self-explanatory once we kind of walk you through each one of these things. And these are just the ones where there was some type of difference between our body and their body. And so with that, I think the good representative from the West of the Winds will start off on page one.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem, thank you. And so if you look at page one on your summary sheet, that first page is all identical amendments. So that means that both the House and the Senate ran identical amendments. And I'm just going to quickly run through these. And so with the Infrastructure Authority, it adds a footnote requiring the agency to coordinate a Wyoming energy strategy and implement initiatives and requires a report. We adopted the House amendment, second reading amendment number 13. The second one down is we adopted the Senate second reading amendment number 12. to Family Services, modifies language in footnote 1 to add BOCES and group home beds to the list of programs that shall not be reduced to effectuate the reduction of $250,000 general fund in the agency. And then if we drop down to the next one, we adopted House Third Reading Amendment 18 in education. It adds a footnote directing the department to expend up to $50,000 from any agency appropriation for purposes of processing donated Wyoming meat for school lunches during the next two years, requires a match. We drop down to the next one. We adopted House Third Reading Amendment number 20. Carryover appropriation adds a paragraph in subsection F to appropriate $200,000 from unobligated balance of funds from the Wyoming Value Added Energy and Industrial Plan to the Infrastructure Authority to complete a study of the tax burdens imposed on oil and gas development in Wyoming and to provide a report. The next one down, we adopted Senate Third Reading Amendment 35, Community College Operation of Automotive Technical Trade School. Modifies language to allow submission of proposals for continuation of the Automotive Technology School in Laramie by community colleges and private entities, adds $5 million of budget authority for loans from the Revolving Investment Fund, which is Amendment 4 money. And then finally on that page, we adopted Senate Amendment, Third Reading number 28, the Blockchain Task Force. This is Section 300. Adds $30,000 general fund effective immediately, and a new section to create a task force that will identify governance issues related to blockchain technology and develop appropriate legislation. If we go on to the next page, page 2, this is non-identical amendments. We adopted House Third Reading Amendment number 1 to the governor's office. And this reduces $186,667 general fund and adds a footnote that one full-time position shall be not authorized after December 31st. And then this is our first, the next one down is our first delete and further amend, and that would be on Senate Second Reading Amendment number 1 to the Secretary of State. And this adds $198,000 general fund for constitutional amendment publishing. Adds a footnote to specify funding is reduced if resolutions do not pass. And then the JCC modified the footnote language to clarify the amounts to specific to each resolution. Now, neither of these resolutions passed the body, so this probably is a moot point, but we have to clarify the language. And the next one down is we deleted Senate Third Reading Amendment 3. In A&I General Services, this modifies footnote 1 to direct the agency to study vehicle condition needs and to provide a report, so we deleted that. We adopted Senate Third Reading Amendment number 4 to A&I Employees Group Insurance, and this modifies language in footnote 2 to identify potential savings rather than realize cost savings related to states' inclusion in the multiplayer payer claims base, so this was just for further clarifying language. And then we drop down to the next one. We deleted Senate Third Reading Amendment 2, A&I Group Employees Group Insurance, which would have added a footnote directing the agency to examine and report on the feasibility and estimated savings resulting from increasing deductibles by $1,000 under each health insurance plan option. We deleted House Third Reading Amendment 42 in the Public Defender's Office, which would have reduced $425,000 general fund and would have added a footnote that no funds from the agency's 2019-2020 appropriation shall be expended on court-ordered capital cases. We deleted House Second Reading Amendment number 3 in Department of Agriculture, which would have added $482,921 general fund and would have added a footnote which specifies the funding is for testing, enforcement, and other costs incurred for implementation of industrial hemp farming. We adopted Senate Reading Second Amendment number 2 in Agriculture State Fair, which removes footnote number 2, which limited one position for 1 year. So it would bring that back position back for 2 years. So, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, that is my sections. So I pass it over.
Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So moving on to page 3, we'll start at the top of the page. We deleted the Senate amendment, adopted the House amendment. If you look, this was regarding the Department of Revenue conducting a study of discounted cash flow valuation for ad valorem tax on oil and gas production. The difference in the two was the Senate provided $10,000 for that study. The House did not. We adopted the House position. The next item was a Senate amendment that was deleted, applying $5.5 million of AML money for a reclamation project in the city where the springs are rocky. We did not adopt that. We deleted it. Moving on, the next one is a House amendment that was adopted. It's modifies footnote 2 to add clarification to the what it is. It's the outdoor recreation website, and to make sure that they are cooperating with other agencies when they create that website. Moving down, we adopted the Senate position on removing footnote 3 regarding state parks and historic sites. The footnote prohibited the department from using motorboat fuel tax revenue for operations. That was by doing the accepting the Senate, we deleted that. The next one, the next one was regarding how we fund security at the Capitol Restoration Project, and it was a question of funding and how we paid for it, and we deleted the House position, which would mean that it comes out of the general fund instead of the Capitol Restoration Project. The one at the bottom of the page was a delete and further amend, and this regards the Air Surface Enhancement Program. In the budget, we put in an extra $1 million. We discussed this in relationship to Senate File 40, so the modified language adds that we will conform to the language in Senate File 40, which we did pass. And then, Mr. Chairman, you can move on to the next speaker. I will be back.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Folks, we're on page 4. At the top of the page, the JCC action was to adopt House second reading amendment number 20, and that was only effective if House Bill 170, Representative Clem's bill, failed. That bill did pass on the other side as well and has been signed, and will make this a moot point. So going to the second section there, the JCC deleted House second reading amendment number 23 and adopted Senate file second reading amendment number 7 and adopted Senate third reading amendment number 10, and those are all interrelated. That's how we funded the DD waivers. And then you'll recall that the joint JAC had put in $4 million to be matched by $4 million federal funds. Then we had a number of amendments come through to bring that up to the $11 million that was recommended by the rebasing study. We do that through on the Senate side by appropriating $6 million each on the general fund side and the federal fund side. So the 6 and the 4 that we had propped is 10, and then the other $1.5 million will come from the department. On the second reading amendment number 7, the reason we chose to adopt that is because the language was more specific to make sure that that funding accommodated both the comprehensive and the support waivers. So moving on down, the JCC adopted Senate second reading amendment number 8. This was putting $210,000 for a medication donation program. You'll recall last night one of the last actions we took was on Senate File 105, where we adjusted those amounts. We had some in 105 and some in this Senate file. The two together make around $400,000 that enables the Department of Health to expand that program. The next one, the JCC adopted Senate second reading amendment number 9. This places $144,000 general fund for a respite program that provides services for families who are not on any other waiver. Turning to page 5, the JCC deleted Senate Third Reading Amendment number 13.01 and then adopted and further deleted House Third Reading Amendment 41. This is how we got the money in for suicide prevention. We appropriate, or we tell the department that there should be no more than, that there should be $8 million used in Unit 550 for grants to counties for activities designed to prevent the use of substance and activities. And of that, $2 million should be used or spent on suicide prevention. And then we had appropriated $2 million. We further amended and reduced that to $1.5 million. The department said they had about $300,000 of uncommitted funds for such of that. So that brings us up to about the 1.8, and then they'll find the remaining $200,000 within their programs to make that done. So most importantly is that $2 million is set aside for suicide prevention. The next action is we adopted, the JCC adopted House Second Reading Amendment number 21. Those was a series of cleanups we had some in the Department of Health, we had some additional requests, and you'll recall on all of those budget exceptions, that was the word I was looking for, we decided to fund those for just 1 year and then come back, that we set aside some money to fund them the second year. But these were authorities. This was authority to spend money. And then the second two were some funds related to the state hospital and the Life Resource Center that it didn't make sense to come back the second year and approve them. So this approved them for the second half of the biennium. The next one is we deleted House Second Reading Amendment 22 and adopted Senate Third Reading Amendment number 12. This is going back to funding the full biennium for the Pioneer Home and the Retirement Center. We chose the Senate's language because it deleted some of the footnotes 7, 8, 9, and 7 and just cleaned the language up a little bit. The next page, on page 6, top of the page, JCC adopted Senate Second Reading Amendment number 31. This was for support and security services at the Boys and the Girls School. It requires the ETS to make sure that is taken care of for the next year, and then requires the department overseeing those two institutions, the Boys' School and the Girls' School, to provide services and security systems for them moving forward. We deleted Senate Second Reading Amendment number 11, which was to require a semiannual report on the power program enrollment. We deleted House Second Reading Amendment number 26, and adopted Senate Third Reading Amendment number 14. This is prevents the expansion of additional beds for regional training centers, group homes, and BOCES homes, and it will insert a new footnote 6 on that page. We adopted House Third Reading Amendment number 13. This was the PREA discussion. Remember the Prison Rape Enforcement Act, and it exempted that same group that I just mentioned from in their contract from complying with that. We adopted House Second Reading Amendment number 27. We appropriated $3 million for the Wyoming Eligibility System for Department of Family Services. This will allow them, if they find that they are short in the current fiscal year on funding, that they might use some of those funds to help get them through on assistance and services. The next one, we deleted House Second Reading Amendment number 13 and adopted House Third Reading Amendment number 14. And those were technical corrections. It made some reductions, including Section 320, and it added $2 million general funds for. I apologize. I need to back up. It deleted the Senate's position on tourism and adopted the House. We restored the $2 million reduction into the Department of Tourism. That's what that done. I apologize for the confusion. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I would turn the explanation over to the good representative from the middle of the state.
Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the top of page 7, we deleted the House of Second Reading Amendment number 28 for the Department of Tourism, and that was a footnote relating to the fireworks display. We then accepted Senate Second Reading Amendment number 14. This is for the University of State Aid, and so this modifies the footnote to require the university to fund the benefits of 4-H educators for the entire biennium as opposed to 1 year from its block grant. Excuse me. The next line down, we accepted Senate Third Reading number 17. This is to the State Board of Education. This moves $130,360 from the Accountability and Communications Division to the State Board of Education Division for the purpose of funding the State Board Coordinator and the related costs. The next box down, the first one the Senate took care of, but then in the committee we deleted Senate Third Reading number 16 in the Accountability and Communications Division, which would have reduced $500,000, but that was deleted, so the full funding is still in place in that regard. The next box down, we accepted Senate Third Reading Amendment number 33, again to the Accountability and Communications section of the Education Department, and this adds $141,000 in one position in the Communications Unit, and what that does is it restores a reduction that JAC had made. The next box down, we accepted Senate Third Reading Amendment number 19 for the EQC. This adds $373,363 in funding to the agency, and so what that does is it funds the agency for the entirety of the biennium as opposed to just 1 year. On the very bottom one, we accepted Senate Third Reading number 31. This is the in a Section 300, and what this does is this sweeps all the general funds at the end of the biennium into the LSRA if there's any left over there. Moving to the top of page 8. The top of page 8, it's a delete and further amend to Senate Second Reading number 32, and what this is for the Excellence in Higher Education Endowment Fund, and we were transferring money from the School Foundation Program account to that endowment account to shore it up. The House position was to transfer a little over $8 million. The Senate position was 4.4, so we met in the middle and said that we would transfer $6.651 million to that endowment account to shore that up. And then we delete the Senate Third Reading Amendment number 20, which would have allowed for borrowing authority into that endowment. And so that was truly just meat in the middle. It was a great compromise. And then the next box down, this is a large box and really the whole action in this entire box. It's a delete and further amend of House Second Reading Amendment 33, excuse me. But the way you can look at all of this is what we have done is we are splitting this, and so it's two different ideas. The first year, we're going to follow the House's idea, which is trust our trust funds, use our investment incomes. And the second year, we're going to go with the Senate's position and use more of the LSRA funding in those regards. And so that's really what that entire box does. That's the simplest way to look at that. And with that, I'd move it on to page 9.
Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So starting at the top of page 9, we have two Senate amendments, number 24 and 26, both deleted. These go back to the previous speaker's items about funding for the penitentiary, and these were Senate proposals for the funding stream that we deleted. So we can move on then to Senate File Amendment 35, which was accepted, And this related to a bill, Senate File 63, about interfund loans, and specifically reduced from $100 million to $60 million of funds to be borrowed to fund school capital construction account, and it directs that those monies will be taken from the LISRA. The next one is House 34, which is deleted. This deletes the carryover appropriation for the FIFI, Film Industry Financial Incentive Program, but I do love saying FIFI in the mic. And it moves it to the We the People Educational Program, which is within the Department of State Parks and Cultural Resources. Moving down, we have a delete and further amend on Senate 22, third reading. And what it adds, subsection E, to authorize UW to expend $2 million of prior appropriations for maintenance of Corbett Pool. This was modified to change the amount to $1 million. And then the bottom box is a little complicated. This is about funding of school projects and component-level projects. So the first one is Senate Second Reading 19. We deleted and further amended, removing Cary Junior High and adding Laramie County component level projects. The change was to change the language from junior high school to middle school, and we deleted the removing of that so previously named junior high. The next one removed and was deleted, removed all capital construction projects except component projects and leases, and then was amended to add funding for a modular in Niobrara. So these two were both deleted, and then we accepted House Second Reading 38, which provides for additional revisions of previous school capital construction appropriations effective immediately, which funds the components. Now we move on to page 10.
Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, just a couple of things before I walk through these. When we went to conference committee, there was only $587,000 in difference between the House and the Senate side. So even though it looks like a lot of items, in terms of dollar amounts, what the Senate did and what the House did was actually quite similar in terms of total amounts. What was different was where money came from. And on that, we ended up, for the most part, kind of going down the middle and doing some from both sides. And then we also eliminated a couple of the capital construction projects will be on the last page because those are dealt with in a different bill and there was no reason to have them in the budget bill. So now let's go to page 10. And this is another example of how we kind of went to the middle with our good folks down the hall, because this is the mineral severance tax diversion. And what we did is we just followed the House version for 1 year and the Senate version for the other year on where, if there were to be dollars available, that's how the diversion would go. So, and by the way, the delete and further amend, in order to make any changes to one of the Senate versions amendments or the House version amendments, you have to go in and delete it and further amend. You don't amend and further amend. That's just the process. So whenever you have a delete and further amends, and so you'll see is then we just bring the whole language back again and add or subtract what we want to it. Because don't be confused by that. That's just the process that we use. So on so that's a delete and further amend. We did the exact same thing down at the next level, delete and further amend on the federal mineral royalties diversion. With this one, both years, this year and 19, so 2018, 2019, will be distributed under the House version. And then you can see, and then it will go to the Senate version on 2020. You know, the nice thing about doing it this way, we'll be able to see the differences between the two philosophies and how the money flows. And so when we come back for the next biennium budget, I think we'll have the ability to look at it and see, well, did this work better? Did this work better? I mean, is it more? Which one's more transparent and understandable? So that'll be a useful thing. And it's estimated that, particularly for the federal mineral royalties, we're talking roughly about $26 million. So we can cut that could go higher, But that's estimated how much will be influenced by that particular delete and further amend. Coley's bonus, same way, we just split it. So the first year would the diversion as we did in the House. The second would be the diversions as we did in the Senate. You might recall that regardless, most of these funds go to education anyway. And so it's kind of a – and also it's unlikely that we're going to have one. There's a possibility in 2020, but this is really just we did it for protection's sake. Then if you go down to we deleted Senate third reading on 32. This is the $25 million that was had to do with capital construction. So the other things that we did in this bill for funding certain capital construction, school construction components, this had to come out. So this goes in tandem with what you heard earlier on the, what we did for capital construction. Then going down to the next item, we deleted House third reading on bill number or agency 321. This is another section 300. And I think you'll all understand this. This is the endow money. And because we put the funding in the individual bills, so we took it out of the budget because it's now funded through the budget. Then if you go to page 11, so almost there, you will look at we adopted the House third reading amendment, which is on agency 329, next to section 300. Both of these, the next two, this is the election equipment, and taking the funds, $500,000 over the Craig, estimated Craig revenues for the Secretary of State's office, and then what we did with our second amendment was we're capturing it, not distributing it, until further action of the legislature, so that this county has the opportunity to grow to take care of voting equipment in the future. If you look at the next one, this is the transfer of sales and use taxes. So this is the remote sales tax. We split the baby on this one, so it was a delete and further amend. So for the first year, that 2019, we'll do it as recommended by the House version. And on year 20, it'll go back to the Senate version. So once again, this is kind of where we're splitting the baby with those folks. The next one, Senate second reading amendment to number on 28. This is the State Weapons Museum Task Force. This was a project brought by the good president on the other side. The only thing we did was change the name, basically, to the Wyoming Museum of Military Vehicles, which is the name that the gentleman that has it on his website. So we agreed to adopt this particular task force funding. Next is school safety and security. On the section 300, we deleted the Senate file. Remember, we discussed this. This came to this floor. And at the end of the day, we just completed these studies, and at the end of 2014, 2015, and so we didn't think it was necessary, so we went with the House side. Down below, then the school finance amendments. Basically, what we said is school finance is going to be handled in House Bill 140. It shouldn't be in the budget, so we deleted both of them. Then if you go to the last page, both of these are deletes. The Middler Impact Roads over in the Lincoln County area, those are in the CapCon bill, so and frankly, that's where it belonged, and so we asked it to be deleted. And with the University of Wyoming Science Initiative, that's also in the CapCon bill, so we deleted the House Amendment to 51. So the process is to move for concurrence, and then you can either we can be happy to discuss them, but at the end of the day, it's kind of all in, all out. So we either move to pass the concurrence or not. And so, but we welcome your discussions on or questions about what we did.
Okay. Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Speaker Pro Tem, I'm on page 3. And specifically, you know, it's not a big deal in the overall scheme of things, but the one thing that I was expecting, I guess, when you look at the top two, the 237 and the House 07, that you would have split the difference so that they didn't have to take it out of their that line item to do this task, you know, dollar for dollar. So I was expecting that maybe there would be some general funds added, like 5,000 or something, but it was declined. And I don't know if that used to be the way they did them. Another one is on page 6 with this the tourism on the bottom. The number 2,223,000, that was, I thought that was the original cut that was made, but we restored 2 million on the House's version. But if I could have some explanation on that, I'm probably a little bit wrong on that. But and then the other question I had is, I got a mark. There's so many pages here. Now I'm on page number 10, the bottom. Is there any need to even have a 321 section anymore? Since we have, you know, that 321 served its purpose already and it theoretically should be empty now. Is there any reason to have that section? And then the other thing, I guess that's what I have. You know, maybe if you could just tell me what the usual and customary thing is when you empty out a section, why it's still kept in the budget.
Representative Sweeney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. So on page 8. On the big box there, on trust our trust funds, which I believe is the future of where we go with the budget. I'm sure there was discussion, and I don't know if this question is actually even feasible to answer, but. Will there be enough data on our position on trust the trust funds over these next 2 years if our program is the future versus the other body's idea the next year on just basically taking dumping everything into LISRA and heading that direction. Will we be able, just in a simple year, to see which plan of attack is better? And I don't know if it's answerable.
Representative Stiff. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, thank you so much for the explanation. I have a slightly bigger picture question that, if it's out of order, the speaker can tell me. In anticipation of getting the question from constituents, how much have we spent out of the rainy day fund account, for example, the legislative stabilization reserve account? I was going through the various versions of the golden rod and the white rod, and the question is this. Here's two questions, and this was kind of like mixing concrete with my eyelashes last night, and I may have been mixing a few too many other things as well. So if I get some explanation, it looks like the total expected expenditure out of the Legislative Stabilization Reserve account will be about $320 million, of which $43 million is attributed to this biennium, and the remainder to the coming biennium. And then it appears that there's another $12 million out of general fund. It's new money we're spending.
that's attributed to this biennium. So the two-fold question, one of those, is that correct? And the second part of the question is there a strategy of why we've got approximately $43 million of the Legislative Stabilization Reserve account attributed to this biennium when it seems apparent that most of that's not going to be spent by June 30th of this year? Thank you.
Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. And my question kind of goes along with that as well, because a lot of things we're spending immediately, so that's charged to this biennium. So I would like a total number of what we're spending in this biennium, where it's coming from, and the total appropriation, and then the same thing with the next biennium. If we could get those numbers, I'd sure appreciate it.
Just a reminder, these are the same rules as for amendments to second and third reading. So anyone else for their first time? Representative Gray, when you get to the mic.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Yeah, I'd like to reiterate that I'd like to get the LISR expenditure across the biennium. I want to get some confirmation on that. I've been looking at the goldenrod, and if we could get some numbers, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Representative Clem, first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. First for a second.
Okay. Anyone else for their first time? Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time? Okay, Mr. Chairman.
So just to go to the last question first, or the one regarding the LSRA. So roughly it's about $340 million, but there's also, it has a lot to do with what happens with Capcom and what we do there. But there's a backfill, so it goes down to about $270. And the loan the $43 million you're talking about is, I think that comes from the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund Reserve account. And the reason that we did that is on some of those projects that we want to get going on, we have to have money up front so that they can actually begin construction next summer. And to do that, there has to be money now or available now, and then it'll backfill in. But it's roughly about $270 million. With regards to whether or not we'll be able to look at our trust funds and basically rely on our savings versus the LISR, I think the answer is we will have a better picture of it. But frankly, we kind of know what that picture is already, because it's whether or not you have it sitting in your savings account or you're spending cash. And so it's just a difference of philosophy that it will be more transparent and clearer when it comes along. So, go ahead.
Representative Walters, first time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Answering the question about why we're leaving the endow in the Section 321 in the budget bill, and the reason is because as we cleaned up those endow bills, we referenced Section 321. And so if somebody in a court were to go back and look, and then there's no Section 321 in the budget, it makes no sense. So it's just a cleanup. It's really not the dollars we're talking about. It's just having that reference point still known in this budget. That's all why that still is there. It doesn't relate to the dollars. It's just the section point in the budget.
Representative Larson, first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to go back to the question referred to from the good Chairman of Revenue on page 5 on tourism. The JAC took out $2 million from their budget. And so then when we started back through the amendments, or the Senate put that $2 million back plus their 320 reduction that they should have taken that last year. We didn't put that 320 reduction back in, and that's why the difference is there. Okay. And then There's another question here from the good representative from the county where springs come out of the rocks about the draw on the LISRA for this the biennium that we're in right now. And you'll recall that we had two departments, Department of Health and Department of Family Services, that were short on funding to get through this biennium, and that's where we pulled that from. Okay. And then I think to the good representative with that asked, can we tell if the policy for which one is better this year or next year? The good chairman of our committee alluded to that as well. Certainly, it doesn't give us the history we'd like to have with multiple years, but, you know, hopefully it'll give us an indication based one on another that we'll at least have a little bit of history. But would more time give us a better indication? Of course, but we'll take what we can get.
Anyone else for their first time? First time? Anyone for their second time? Second time? Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, so we're about to vote on this concurrence and wanted to make a couple comments. You know, obviously this is probably going to pass. It seems like there's been about four iterations on almost all the big expenditures. There's some that are passing 55-5, some 50-10, some 45-15, some 40-20, and that's about the high water mark. Maybe we'll get 21-22 no votes, but I'm more in suspense about which one of those boxes this is going to be in rather than if this will pass. But I still think it's very important here that we voice the concerns of Wyomingites and my constituents that I've talked to about this. And there's a couple problems here. One is that this general fund, it just has so much pork in it. You got a bailout of a post-secondary school, a new website that's going to be funded out of the State Parks and Cultural Resources budget, a 900 series that hasn't been right-sized for the enormous expansion that we saw in the first decade of the 2000s. And we see the Section 300, just section after section of new expenditure that does not fit in core functions of government. Now you've got endow in there. So that's one issue with this. Another issue I have on this is what this has done to the options we have for our state moving forward. You look at what this did with the 1% severance tax. That was an enormous opportunity for us to try to fix other areas of our expenditure, so think school capital construction and school foundation program account. Major maintenance, particularly within school capital construction, because the school part is in the budget. And that option is just totally moved into the general fund, which of the three issues we have is the one that we should be most able to control. But instead, they take this number one opportunity we have to fix our problems, and they use it on the general fund, which is the least of our three issues. And I think that that's moving forward a tremendous problem for the fiscal policy of our state. I would also direct you to the latest Goldenrod, and I want to give a little bit of the 30,000 feet up picture. So it looks like at the end of this biennium, they're estimating about $1.35 billion sitting in LISRA. And that obviously is pending action in the general session of next year, where I'm sure there'll be a boatload of new expenditure. But the issue moving into the next biennium for our state is that this carryover cash, which helped us to close this gap this year, I don't think that's going to be there next time. So that's $300 million that is going to be offloaded onto LISRA in the next biennium. And so you can do the math here. I mean, we're looking at about 4 years at the rate we're going on. So those are my two issues. My two issues are the pork in this budget, and then the second issue is the way this deals with opportunities we have to try to fix the three core problems we have, which is general fund, the core expenditures of government, school capital construction, and then school foundation program. And it just blows away one of our key options and plops it into the general fund. And on top of that, it offloads, again, the $105 million for cities, towns, and counties onto the rainy day fund, rather than placing that in the general fund where we're really, that's where it belongs. And so I just say there's a lot of movement here that is not good for our state and is not focusing on our core issues. And really, I think a vote for this budget is a vote in the long run for a tax increase. And I think that's the wrong way for our state to go. And we got to focus on our core issues. So I'd urge a no vote on concurrence. Thank you.
Anyone else for their second time? Second time? Okay. We're voting on Joint Conference Committee number 1, report to House Bill 1. A majority of the elected members are required to adopt the report. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Joint Conference Committee on House Bill 1. Allen. Aye. Barlow. Aye. Biteman. No. Blackburn. No. Blake. Aye. Bovey. Aye. Brown. No. Burkhart. Aye. Bird. Aye. Clausen. Aye. Clem. No. Connolly. Aye. Court. Aye. Crank. Conflict. Dayton. Aye. Edwards. No. Eklund. Aye. Ayer. Aye. Flitner. Aye. Freeman. Aye. Furphy. Aye. Giroux. Aye. Gray. No. Greer. Aye. Haley. Aye. Hallinan. No. Halverson. No. Henderson. Aye. Hunt. Aye. Jennings. No. Kinner. Aye. Kirkbride. Aye. Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
No.
Lindholm.
No.
Lone.
No.
Laux.
Aye.
McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
No.
Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
No.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Piperinen.
No.
No. Pawnell.
Aye.
Salazar.
No.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Simpson.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
No.
Stith.
Aye.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
No.
Zwanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker, excused. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Pawnell. Aye. To no. Miller. Aye. To no. Further changes. Closing vote. The vote is closed. 38 aye, 20 no, 1 excused, 1 conflict.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee number 1, report to House Bill 1.
Okay, Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I just wanted to announce that your Joint Conference Committee for Senate File 36 will be meeting 10 minutes upon noon recess, and I believe for Senate File 34 as well.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Lindholm.
Senate 30.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I just want to let everybody know that the last four of that whole blockchain bill stuff that we did together will be signed right now. So if you want to join in, all four of the last bills.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, I move the House stand in recess until 2 p.m.
Okay. Prior to the vote, I cannot give you a firm time or date that we will adjourn. So enjoy lunch. You've heard the motion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Okay, we're recessed until 2 p.m.